This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's Tina Camellia, Tishao Ik, and Kelly Anissa on the Daily Digest this Thursday afternoon.
So in our first story, we are going to look at, it's World Population Day, so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to do a quick Hari Ni Dalam Sejarah segment to understand the purpose of this day and the important issue that is being revisited for this year's theme.
And somewhat related, our second story looks at a letter to the editor in The Star, which I think it was earlier this week. So that letter has called comprehensive sexuality education amoral and has called for sexual education that is instead oriented to the values and virtues of married love.
And on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, what should sex education teach kids? Your options are abstinence only, procreation only, or sexuality and relationships. You can take that poll at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
First though, here is Too Much Too Young by The Specials.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9. Thanks for sticking around. It is World Population Day today, Kelly.
Yes, so that day is commemorated yearly on July 11th. So let's take a few steps back, to try and understand how this day came to be. So in 1987, the United Nations determined that the human population will reach 5 billion people that year. And at the time, the UN did not designate the hour of that momentous day, nor the gender of the infant. And then on the 11th of July of that year, the United Nations named Mate Mitya Jaspa, born in Zagreb, Croatia, to be the 5 billionth human being alive on the planet. That was then designated as Day of the 5 Billion.
What a distinction to have, right?
Yeah.
To be known as the 5 billionth human being on the planet. Yeah. So due to the interest that was generated by the Day of 5 Billion, 11th of July was then marked as World Population Day in 1989 by the then Governing Council of the United Nations Development Programme. And this was to focus attention on the urgency and importance of population issues.
Yes, but while the arrival of the baby in question, we know, was a cause for celebration for the parents, it is a matter for commiseration for the rest of us. Every day there is more evidence that the planet is suffering under its efforts to support its present burden of humankind. So what is our global population count today? Our population is actually estimated to be about 7.5 billion. So these estimates indicate that roughly 83 million people are being added to the world's population every year.
I feel a bit of that is being aimed at parents like me,
who are adding to the population.
Yeah, you're the only parent in the room,
yeah,
so showing.
I'm feeling a bit of shade being thrown at me, Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a problem with these estimates is that the Earth is taking on board additional people at a rate that far exceeds the society's capacity to plan for them.
Sorry, Sherry.
And I mean, even the most advanced and well-organized community would find it taxing to accommodate more people.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all that very true. And yet, despite many efforts at birth control campaigns, the annual growth rate of our population is still increasing a little globally. So birth control campaigns and family planning do play a very important role in helping to reduce the pressure of the human population.
And so in order to address the urgency population issues, the International Conference on Population and Development was held in Cairo, Egypt, 25 years ago in 1994. So this was attended by 20,000 officials, and this number is made up, of representatives from 179 governments across the world, as well as UN agencies, NGOs, and members of the international press. So from this conference, four goals were laid out: to provide universal education, to reduce infant and child mortality and that of maternal mortality, and to provide greater access to sexual health and reproductive services.
This year's World Population Day revisits those goals and calls for global attention to the Finnish business discussed 25 years ago. Advocates from around the world are calling on leaders, policymakers, and others to help make reproductive health and rights a reality for all.
Mm. And this was the focus in this year's State of the World Population Report. So this is a report that's published annually by the UNFPA, United Nations Population Fund. And each edition covers and analyzes developments and trends in world population, in demographics, and the unique challenges that they face. Or rather, I should say we face. So the 2019 edition for this year is titled Unfinished Business, The Pursuit of Rights and Choices for All. And it reflects the current state of sexual and reproductive health and rights.
Yeah, so the report offers a look at the key moments for sexual and reproductive rights across 5 decades, from the discovery of HIV to the call to end child marriage. It highlights political changes around population policy, such as the shift in focus from controlling population to expanding human rights and reproductive choices. So earlier this year, I spoke to Marcella Suazo. She is the Malaysian representative for UNFPA Malaysia, and also to Sivananti Tanintiran, who is the executive director of the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Center for Women, or better known as ARRO. I asked them about the findings in this year's report and what the findings revealed about Malaysia. So here is a clip from that interview.
After these 25 years, these reports brings to the attention of the world what has happened in those 25 years, what have we achieved, what are the good lessons that we have learned, what are the new experiences and initiatives that we can still share today with other countries that are facing difficulties, and what are those gaps. And I would say that we still have many different gaps. We still have women that today cannot decide on the number and the spacing of the children they would like to have, and if they would like to have children. Mm. I believe that there's a huge gap in addressing issues related to gender-based violence, to women's violence, and to sexual violence around the world today, and particularly also in this region. And there is one third, and it's the women's empowerment to make decisions. And this has to do with the economic, with the institutional, with the cultural, and the concept, the general concept of the role that women play in society.
Mm. And how many women were surveyed, you know, in how many countries did the report focus on?
The report really relates to all of the countries in which we serve, but there were particular new indicators that were reviewed. And this was the capacity of women to decide, for example, if they wanted to have an intimate relationship or not, and what is their approach, their decisions made on their own body. And this was done in 51 countries, because those are the 51 countries that provided information about this, okay, and including sexual orientation, for example. And what we found is that the issue remains the same. The capacity of making decisions lies in the power that has the economic capacity. Mm-hmm. So this disparity in the power of decision making continues to be both at the intimate part of the family or the relationship between the couple, and also in society. It is reflected in society. So this is the essence that we need to review in the legislation, in the institutional, in the cultural areas of the country.
And Siva, how does Malaysia fare in the report?
I think that when you talk about sexual and reproductive health and rights, we must firstly remember that, you know, this agenda covers a wide spectrum of issues, actually. Mm-hmm. So you have, on the one hand, more traditional health services such as maternal health services. And we know that Malaysia's achievements in reducing maternal mortality, you know, has been evident even from the 70s, right? Mm-hmm. And they achieved it largely through enabling access and professionalizing midwifery services. And this is still, I mean, one of the achievements that, you know, every country in the world talks about when they talk about Malaysia's achievements. But it also includes access to contraception and family planning. And unfortunately, I think that the numbers around contraception and family planning is not counted accurately enough okay. in the country. And but what number we do have actually shows that it has stagnated for almost the last
last 20 years. So clearly there are some improvements that can be done, either one in the data collection around that, or two around improving access and perhaps focusing on the groups that don't have that access, right? But also Malaysia does relatively well in things like, I was just talking to Marcella just before we came here, we do make certain bold moves, like when we decided that we needed to have universal cervical cancer vaccination. And that was remarkable for a middle-income country to say that they were going to provide this vaccine, which is considered, you know, comparably expensive, right? And they were going to provide it to all girls at 12 years old, right? So I think that in that case, we continue to be bold and, you know, make steps ahead. But there's still issues. And I think that the lagging is, as Marcella pointed out, is perhaps in the rights dimensions, you know? So I think that, you know, providing access to comprehensive sexuality education or sex education, whatever you call it, that's still, you know, as a right to information for young people, this is something that we face barriers with. Female genital cutting is something that we still don't talk about. Yeah. Early age marriage is another issue that also, and all of these issues actually hinder, you know, women's sexual and reproductive health, you know, individual empowerment, right? So I think that these are some of those, overview snapshot that I could give, yes.
So that was Marcella Suazo. She is the Malaysia representative for UNFPA Malaysia. And Sivananti Taninthiran, she is the executive director of the Asian Pacific Resource and Research Center for Women, or better known as ARRO. So to listen to the full podcast, you can look up Rights and Choices for All on bfm.my. So in November, UNFPA, together with the governments of Kenya and Denmark, will be convening a high-level conference in Nairobi to accelerate efforts to achieve those unmet goals. So we will definitely be keeping a close eye for any updates on that issue.
And just to add, out of this world population of 7.5 billion that we have now, around 1.8 billion youths are entering their reproductive years. So it's exceptionally important to make this an essential part of the reproductive health discussion, and to really look at comprehensively educating and making young people aware of reproductive health needs and challenges that really all of us will be facing.
Do we know what is UN's definition of a youth? Because we're having that debate here domestically about, you know, the age of what a youth.
I know for child is below 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting actually for youth, right?
Yeah, we'll check on that during the break, and we'll come back with that.
Yeah, so you can share your thoughts on this topic. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900. And don't forget, we have a Twitter poll. What should sex education teach kids? Your options are abstinence only, procreation only, or sexuality and relationships. So you can go ahead to Twitter and take that poll.
Yeah, and that will lead us into our next story. Is sex education amoral? That's coming up after Krongbin with People Everywhere Still Alive, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.